think I'll read just a little bit to you. And if I can, the Lord will help me. Maybe I'll just relate a few things to you concerning the present day happenings. Amen. I say that, you know, I'm hoping that I can. I hope I can. I feel a real concern. I don't feel quite that much hunger. You know, you have to be hungry to draw the virtue. I feel a concern. I feel a good spirit among you. I feel a concern. It's kind of, you know, it's a strange thing. The spirit works kind of like a... You ever had chills and fever? How many of you ever had chills and fever? Well, that's the way the movement of the spirit is, you know. It works kind of like that. You feel it come over the audience, go and come, you know. You know, up and down like that. And all of a sudden you feel a little thing that would grieve you, and then you feel it just ride on over, and you feel everything clear, and then goes and comes like chills and fever, you know. But that's all right. As long as it does that, that's all right. As long as I don't feel anything coming up from an individual. You know, when you feel something coming up from an individual, that's when it troubles you. See, it don't trouble me for something to attack an individual, because we're all subject, you know, to be attacked by evil. But now what does trouble me, and this really troubles me, if something strikes an individual and the individual doesn't resist it, and there ain't no need of telling me that I don't feel it. There ain't no need of doing that, because I do feel it. I know it's there. And I've had my own wife. I love her. She's very, very close to me. If she say, "You're wrong," I said, "Well, that's between you and the Lord. Say whatever you want to, but it's still so." See, when you know something, you know something. And when you, it's just like, see, you've got something in your hand, like this comb. It wouldn't make any difference if 50 million people said you haven't got it. It's still there. Wife, children, family, neighbors, it don't make any difference. It's still there. So, it's like, I believe it was yesterday that we were standing down in the lower part of the building, and Satan attacked Brother Atlee. I believe Brother Atlee will vouch for this. Attacked Brother Atlee, I never said a thing to you, did Atlee? Not a thing. But the Lord showed me that it attacked him, what it was, how it happened, and everything. And Atlee was standing right there. You'd have never known anything had ever struck him, because we was all having a wonderful conversation. But I saw it when it happened. I saw what it said to him. I said, "Lord, I'm not going to say anything at all to Brother Atlee, because Atlee's weary and tired, and he's trying to work, and the devil's trying to jump on him." The next day I come back and Atlee stopped me. And Atlee said, "Brother Pike, but I want to say something to you." I said, "You mean about the devil attacking you, or the words I used yesterday, you mean?" He said, "Yeah, that's what it was." And was it that way, Brother Atlee, the way that I told you? Was it that way, brother? It was that way. At the same time, one attacked it, Brother Wilson. Brother Wilson still don't know that I know that it attacked him. But it did. I know when it attacked him and what it told him. But you know, discernment of the Spirit is a wonderful thing. We need it as children of God. See, but you don't use discernment of the Spirit to hurt people. You don't use it for that purpose. You use it to help people. But it is a dangerous thing when somebody discerns something and you tell them that it's not there. That's a dangerous thing. So you might say, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, it ain't there." Well, as far as you're concerned, that might be right. As far as you're concerned. But as far as God's concerned, it is there. The minister would have never seen it, you know, if it hadn't have been there. All those things are spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. And you know, the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man. Isn't that right? You say, what way is that? His own way. Because the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. His own way seemeth right unto him. But then there is a God way. Jesus said, "I'm the word way." Isn't that right? That's God's way. That's the right way. All right, so the mind of God is right and our mind is wrong. So we can't lean to our own understanding. If we say, "No, it wasn't," Just forget about it, because if God's mindset it was, it is. It is. Man of God come up to you and say, hey, you're dying with TB. But, oh, no, I don't feel a thing. You can count on it. You're dying with TB if he's a real man of God. You might not feel nothing, but you go to the doctor and get him to look at you because you got it. All right, so then you might have something working on you, and you might not be spiritual enough to know it. See, your way seems right to you when you say, no, that seems right to you. You're sure that you're right. But see, that's why the man of God spends his time with God, is to find out right and wrong. You go to a doctor, you say, no, that couldn't be wrong with me. He'd say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, it's wrong with you. The x-ray shows it. So, yeah, but I can't tell it. Don't make any difference. The x-ray shows it. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, I don't have any symptoms of it. So, well, just give it about 3 weeks. You've got 3 months to live. It'll show up. All right. So then that's what it's for, folks. I love you and I want to help you. And I want you to help me. You can help me. We can help each other. How many of you know that? We can help each other. That's what we want to do, is help each other. Now, I want to read a little bit to you. And I read this to you the other night, some of it here. But I feel like reading a little of it again. In the third verse of 1 Corinthians, the first verse, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now, Paul said, do we commend ourselves, or do we need somebody to recommend us? Do we need to recommend ourselves to you, or you need to recommend us? No, he said, we don't need that. He said, ye are our recommendation, ye are our epistle, that is, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That is to say, brethren, if you understand, the Word made flesh. Not in tables of stones, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. That's another thing to notice. See, we're not sufficient of ourselves. This is what I just got through saying. We can't think it out. We're not sufficient. We don't have any sufficiency of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. To think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now when he says that, he's speaking of the law, that which is old, ready to be folded up and laid away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. What Paul is saying here is that the letter of the law brings us under condemnation, because we see the demand for righteousness, and through our weakness we're not able to perform it of ourselves, through the weakness of our body. So he called it a letter of condemnation. Sin getting its strength by the law. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. His plainness of speech here indicates that we speak concerning the unveiled mysteries of Christ, a plain understanding. We unveil it. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right. Now, Paul here in his writings, and I want to say again, I just want to talk with you. Paul here in his writings, He is again trying to tell us that we are not living to where things are veiled to us. Now when he says this to the children of God. We are not looking at things through a veil. See, when we look at things through the carnal mind, then we are beholding things through a veil. But when we come into the mind of Christ, we are no longer looking at it through the veil. See, for the Bible teaches that the veil is taken away in Christ. You follow me? The veil is done away with in Christ. How many of you follow me? In Christ. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The veil is done away with in Christ. The veil is done away with in the mind of Jesus. When we get the mind of Christ, there is no veil. For Christ is the unveiled, which was taken from the veiled body of the Son of God. For the Son of God, that is the body of Jesus, that was the veil. But then the Christ came forth. And when the Christ came forth, he come out of the veil. And Christ is the revelation of God. He is the revealed God in a personified form in a way that we can comprehend him. Now you follow me? See, God was not veiled in the beginning, except that he was veiled off from human view. You follow me? And when he came into the body of Jesus, then he became veiled. But when Jesus was crucified, then he became unveiled. God became unveiled. Now you understand what I'm saying? See, God was without personification before. But when he rent the veil of the body of Jesus, stepped out of the veil, he was within a form or a personification, a personage. In other words, he was within, he was a personification in Jesus. And as the Christ, he is the unveiled, spiritual, personified God. That is, he makes sense to our human intelligence. We've comprehended him at last. We know his heights, we know his depth, we know his width. Isn't that right? We know his length. We know him as God. We know him as the kind, wonderful, human-looking God who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed. Isn't that right? See, we know him as God. Before, we didn't know what he looked like. We didn't know where he looked like a bird, whether he looked like whatever. We didn't know what he looked like. But now we know he looks like a man. In other words, he looks like us. And that he is the head of his creation. We understand God through Jesus. We comprehend God through Jesus. All right, who is Jesus? The Word. So then we can comprehend God, the eternal Spirit, through the mind of Christ, which is the Word. Is that right? See, one time God was within the body of Jesus and we knew him after the flesh. But now the Christ has stepped out of the body and he is a personification in my body today. You understand? Still in the body of Jesus. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We sit down and eat the Lord's Supper. Isn't that the Lord's Supper? He said, well, how is that the Lord's Supper? Because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's the Lord eating his supper. Isn't that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Christ is in me today. Christ is within me today. He's within you today. He is out of the veil of the body of Jesus. And today he is within you. And we understand him because he is revealing himself as a spiritual revelation, the Christ to you and I. And in thus doing, we are transformated from glory to glory, from spiritual power to spiritual power, from inspiration and rejuvenation, our jubilance, one jubilance to another, right into the glory and happiness of God. I like that. It's an inward fountain that's overflowing. My cup overflows, David said. Out of my innermost being flows the rivers of living water. And today, it is not me that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. You understand? So it is so wonderful, so exceedingly great, and so wonderful to know that we are no longer the human beings that we were born to be in the world, but that we have been regenerated. That is, we are another generation, and we are of the generation of Jesus Christ, and that we will declare His generation, and that inasmuch as we are the generation of Jesus Christ, then we are to declare Christ to the world, not by going and telling them about Christ, but rather, as Paul said, being an epistle that's known and read of all men. Now listen at me here and get in here with me now. Don't go to rocking the boat to and fro now. You're not getting in here with me. I can feel some of you. You're just about half asleep, so to speak, as far as spiritually speaking. Now if you want to get anything, you better get in here. If you don't, I'll start preaching, and some of you will start frowning up, and that old carnal mind of yours will start finding fault, and then the revelation is gone for tonight, and I'll have to preach to you, and we'll all go home. So then let's get in, whatever you want. You know, you can, it's a serve yourself, whatever you want. Amen. You can have a Cadillac and a Lincoln, or you can have a T-model, whatever you want. God will let you have it. Now, there's more price to pay for a better pair of shoes, isn't that right? It takes a little more diligence. We're glad to have Keith back with us tonight. I told some of the brethren, I said, they'll be back. I know Keith, he was the first one that come down here. He won't stay long. Him and Robin will come on back. All right, now then, you understand. Amen. So, now let's get in for just a little bit, and I'll let you go. We're not having any singing much. We're just kind of making the service short for you. And you want, if you're going to get anything, you better get it, because it ain't long. I'm fixing to go to some more people. You better get it. While getting is good, you better get it. So you say, well, I'm filled up, but you're going to get hungry. Amen. You know, you can eat all you want to and say, I'm going to fast tomorrow, but when breakfast comes tomorrow, you still feel like eating breakfast. So you better do the best you can while you can. All right, so then we know that Christ has returned in a human body. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Christ of that Jesus, that He hath unveiled Himself, He hath laid aside His garment, and He has come down in our heart. You say, Brother Pike, where did Christ ever lay aside His garment? He took it off at Calvary. Isn't that right? The Bible said that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Isn't that right? And Paul said there is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Is that right? And so then he laid the old robe away that was stained with sin, and he picked up the royal robe that God had given him and went yonder and sat down on the throne with it. Isn't that right? All right, so then it is a thrilling experience to be part of the great army of the living God. Now, I can preach to you tonight, or we can teach you. Whichever one. You know, you get excited. If I start preaching, you get excited. If a preacher comes out here and preaches to you, you just get excited. You get excited. You know why you get excited? Somebody said, bless God, I feel that. That's why I get excited. But that in the right way. It didn't say faith cometh by feeling. Isn't that right? You can go to a lot of meetings and feel something. Because you're in the days of grace. Just stir up your pure mind. But I'll tell you what, you're going to need the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. And I get out on the field, I have to preach to them. I don't get to teach much out there. I have to, because I got all kind of people out there. And all right, now. So then, we see something happen. And what does it mean, the Christ being on the inside of us? What does that mean? That means something to us. See, if Jesus is on the inside of me, that means something to me. It means that the Christ, the seed, the life, what the world would call the germ of life, has been put inside of my spirit and inside of my heart. And I'm being transformated, and I'm being translated, and I'm being transfigured and transformated into the kingdom of God. Glory to glory, I'm changing. Every day I'm changing. A lot of people say, oh, I've been going to church at Bethlehem for 7 years. And I don't see no different. I'm still just like I was, and I still like to eat and ride. I don't see where I'm no different. But folks, let me tell you something. Within that 7 years, something has taken place. Something has taken place. You haven't seen it, but it's taken place. There's something that's happened in the body of the saints of God. God hasn't just brought them here for nothing. Put a child in school out here and let him go to school. Let another one stay out of school
And the one that's out of school, he'll look at the other when it comes from school. He'll say, I don't see no difference in you. You've been going to school for 15 years. I don't see any difference. There isn't any difference. As far as appearance, there isn't any difference. But I'll tell you what, wait till the day of the testing comes. Set him down and put him to the test and see if there's a difference with him. See if something's happened to him in those years that he's been in school. Brother, when the testing time comes, you're going to find out that something has happened to the saints of God. There's something that's been taking place all of these years while they've been going to the schools of God and they've been listening. They've been sitting there and taking this in and drinking this in and putting it line upon line and precept upon precept. Something's been happening to them. They're different. You can be sure they're different. They're God's masterpiece. God's cutting it out here and cutting it out there. He just left the old veil on until he gets it finished. After a while, he's going to pull it off and you're going to see a difference. You're going to see a difference. There's going to be a difference in you too. He's going to unveil you one day and you're going to look like a freak. You're going to look like a devil because that's what you are. You are a devil. Amen. If you're not a son of God, you're a devil. It's like Shambach today. I noticed on the radio, Shambach was really preaching today. He's about to wise up a little bit. He got all stirred up. They're getting a little bit too worldly. He said, you devils, bunch of devils, ain't going to pull me down to hell with you. Said, it's going to be holiness. I told you, I thought he's a pretty good fella. Someday he'd come out. Well, that's the way it is, see. If you're not a son of God, then that means you're the wrong thing. All right, so then Christ is on the inside of us, folks. And God from within is revealing himself and he's trying to tell us something and lead us on from glory to glory. It's up to you. It's up to me for us to continue to walk in the light of God and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Don't ever get discouraged. You might get tired in your body and you might not feel good and you might feel everything's all wrong. And when you go to church, you might say, well, I don't feel any different than what I felt 2 years ago. But I can promise you that something has taken place in your heart. There's a great change going on. You're changed from glory to glory. Every time you hear a great revelation of God, there's a spiritual inspiration that causes you to go into a change. God's giving you royal blood that's flowing through your vein. All right. So then in this great thing, Paul said, we use great plainness of speech. We unveil the thing. We bring it out to a place to where you can understand that something's taking place. You got to know that something is taking place. If you're feeding from the table of devils out yonder, you're going to wind up a devil. How many of you know that? You feed out there on the things of the devil and you're going to develop the appearance of the devil. Because he's going to feed you the things that will make you look like him. Is that right? You go feed on the things of a drunkard and give yourself about 10 years and see if you don't look like a drunkard. That's right. Deep lines across your face, all shriveled up and cirrhosis or cirrhosis of the liver. Isn't that right? See, you follow the path of a drunkard, you'll look like a drunkard. But you follow the path of a son of God. Like the Hebrew children, when they wouldn't eat the king's meat, they just got off to the side and they began to eat the good things of God. And at the end of that period of time, they look different. They look different. See, when you feed from the table of God, you look different. The Bible said you can't feed from the table of devils and feed from the table of God. A lot of people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with watching the ball game. Nothing but a table of the devil, that's all. You're filling your belly with a swine's husk, that's all. I don't see anything about wrong going down, listening to a little rock and roll, nothing but listening to the devil, that's all. A little bowling alley, a little this and a little that. I don't see anything wrong with it. Nothing but the devil, that's all. You're feeding from the table of the devils, that's all you're doing. You're developing the image of the devil, that's all you're doing. You've got an appetite of the devil on the inside. But I'll tell you what, a lot of them say, well, I go to church and I go to church too on Sunday, you know. But you can't feed at the table of God. You can't eat from the table of God and eat from the table of devils. When you eat out there, you've already got your belly filled up with the husk the swine eat. You don't get anything in church. You don't have any hunger. You don't have a place to put it. All right. So then your labor's for your belly. Now, see, something is taking place. How do you know that something is taking place? Something is taking place. I brought out how that Brother Bob Wells came down here. And I believe I brought out the other day something concerning the testament that Brother Pickles brought in the different things. See, there's something that has taken place. There is a great outlet, a great avenue that's opened up. There's something that's taking place. God is causing something to happen that's never happened before in the history of the world. It's never happened like this before. We can see this thing taking place. I see this thing taking place. I know that it's out there. I'm watching it every day, day by day. I'm watching it. Only Jesus can see those things. Nobody else can see those things but Jesus. How do you know the Bible teaches the spirit of a man knoweth the things of a man? See, and he can't see nothing of God. He's blind. He can't see nothing of God because he got the spirit of a man. All his spirit wants is ball games and frolics and foods and parties and money and securities and all of these kind of things. Rest and confidence and convenience. To argue, to smoke, to chew, to dip. To drink, to frolic. Passions. That's his nature. That's his spirit. Isn't that right? That's a man. See, but the things of God knoweth the spirit of God. When you get the Spirit of God, you have a hunger for heavenly things. You have a hunger for the Word. You have a hunger for the revelation of God. You have a desire to do something for Jesus. You want to come to church and listen to the Word of God and grow in the things of Jesus Christ. There's just a difference, folks. All right. So then, the Spirit of God knoweth the things of God. That spirit of man, he knows that racetrack. He knows going out on Sunday, motorboating around and fishing and frolicking. He knows that. That's his life. That's his relaxation. That's his hunger. That's his thirst. It inspires this old tabernacle out here. It makes it feel better. It gives him a little rest for his nerves, you know, to take a little swig on the side. Isn't that right? Say, why do you smoke like you do? Well, it makes me feel a little better. All right. Now the Spirit of God, it knoweth the things of God. See, it knoweth the things of God. It sees these things. God's Spirit sees these things. If you've got the Spirit of Christ, it sees into that world and it sees these heavenly things. And it enjoys these heavenly things. See, you get out there and you get down near the ocean. You get in that water. And you just roll about and you just have the biggest kind of time. Isn't that right? But that ocean is only a symbol of the great body of water, the waters of life. And I don't have to go down to the ocean. Somebody said, when I take my vacation in heaven, all I have to do is get out there in those heavenly places and start rolling around in that great ocean of God and just splattering around having the time of my life. I like that. So then there's a spiritual man and there's a natural man. The natural man, he cares for the things of this world. The spiritual man, he cares for the things of that world. The natural man, his conversation is in this world and his labor is for this world. But the spiritual man, his conversation is in heaven and his labor is for that which is in heaven. Is that right? Great plainness of speech, that which is unveiled. Now, Paul said this world has a glory. It has a glory. It can offer you glory. There's a great inspiration. It's the act of God. It's a created thing. You like it, inspiration. You like it, passions of the flesh. You like those things. It's got a glory. But Paul said there's another world. It's got such a glory that there won't even be any remembrance of the glory of this world. It is so outstanding. It is so wonderful that the glory and brilliance of it will outshine the noonday sun, Paul said. It'll be so bright and so glorious and so brilliant. All right. So then, there is something that is taking place. It's like when I was over in Jerusalem. There, Brother Bill was speaking to me about it today. There, when I was in Jerusalem, something took place. The night before we went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, I was praying. See, I left here step by step watching the revelation of Jesus. And when we got over there, every step had a special spiritual significance. Everything fell in line just beautifully. While I was praying that night on my knees, Sister Betty and the others was asleep in the other room. And I was on my knees and I was praying, talking to God. And while I was talking to God, you remember this before, I mentioned it here. While I was praying, all of a sudden I moved into an atmosphere just like the prophets of old. I've never had it happen to me before. And I moved into this atmosphere, and it was just exactly like the prophets of old. Suddenly, I had the same feeling. I'd never known how they would have felt. But I had the same identical feeling. I was in the same atmosphere, the same reactions of my thoughts and my feelings. There I was in this place, and I felt it. I felt like I was a prophet. Of course, now, I want you to understand this. There is no higher calling than the sonship with God. The sons of God, that's the highest calling there is. So don't get the idea I'm lifting myself up, because the least of the body of Jesus Christ is greater than Elijah. The least. Is that right? None greater than John. And he that is a member of the body, the sons of God, are far greater than the prophets. But nevertheless, God was doing something. The next day, as you know, we went over to Deborah the prophetess's house, right at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. Went up about halfway, and Sister Betty remembers this real well. We got there, and then they had to have cars to take us on to the top of the mountain. The bus wouldn't go any farther. Are you staying with me? Brother Mike remembers real well. When we got halfway up there, it was just like a Calvary, the changeover from there. We spoke about the little boys brought the little flowers. And about that time, that's when the bee, you got a picture of it, just as plain, the bee lit over in Mike's hand. And we spoke of it, the sting being taken out of death. And you remember how that when we got up on that mountain, how that we went back and into the sanctuary part of it and ministered to the people. And a Baptist boy prophesied. And when he prophesied, the people got excited, and Sister Anna and a number of them was crying and praising God because the anointing was so great in the little building. If Sister Anna's here, I believe it's her over here. If that's, she'll vouch for that. That's true. Is that right, Sister Anna? It happened just exactly that way. Now, see, something had taken place. What did Elijah have to do with it? Why do you know that when Jesus was there at Calvary, that something took place with that thief on one side and one on the other? And how do you know that on the Mount of Transfiguration that Elijah appeared in glory with Jesus? How do you know that? All right, so then there was something that was taking place. See, Elijah was the raptured side of it. Moses had to do with the saints that was dead and buried, the resurrected saints. Where Jesus had to do with the living saints, Elijah had to do with the translated saints being caught up. Now, I never thought too much about that until God spoke to me. And the Lord spoke to me about Florida and the angel of the Lord coming and the change that he showed me and the 6,000 mile trip that we took. The 6,000 mile trip that we took out to Arizona and back. We took that trip, I believe, before we ever went to Jerusalem. Now, that had a great spiritual significance, and I'm not going to go in it tonight to try to break it down to you. If you just think back at the great divide and the place called Vale that's on the other side and Lordsburg and Tucson and the things I told you about it, you'll understand what I'm saying. It had to do with them tornadoes, the change. The change. I said that after me and Betty sat in on Congress, there'd be a change in the earth, change in the government, a change in the galaxies. And you know that scientists have come out, there's been a change. Even the automobiles are changing right now. They're going to the little cars. Is that right? Change. It had to do with a great change, like the transfiguration, a great change. Had to do with it. How do you understand why they're going back to the little cars right now? How do you understand that? Just drop it a thought here, and then we get back on our main theme. How do you know why that's happening? It is God's way of turning the money back to the foreign fields. God is through with America. And the foreign fields, or the foreign nations, are the ones that's producing all of those little cars. I just read an article, I believe it was this morning, where Volkswagen, the prices has shot up tremendously, and I believe the sales has gone into the billions of dollars. Money going back over there. What is it? America's finished, and God is turning all the powers of the economy back in that way, so that they will have control of us over here. We'll have to buy their parts, buy their automobiles. We'll be under their control. Even our automobiles are beginning to look like the foreign cars. They're making them like the foreign cars. See, the foreign policy is coming in, the mark of the beast. Isn't that right? That's what we said would happen. Carter would come in. All these things would take place. A change would take place. See, there's a change in everything. All right, so then on the Mount of Transfiguration there, it had to do with the great change. It had to do with a changeover from the side of Moses over to the side of Elijah. That was a great change taking place. When I had the vision in Florida, it had to do with a great change that was taking place. When Bob Wells came in here the other day, it had to do with a great change taking place. The tent over yonder, it has to do with a great change taking place. There's a great change. The woman goes through the change of life. The man goes through the change of life. The church goes through the change of life. What does it mean? The woman bears children until the change of life. When the change of life is over, the church doesn't bear children anymore. Is that right? Zion travails, she brings forth her sons and daughters. When the change is over, she doesn't bear children anymore. When she doesn't bear children anymore, that means the days of the Gentiles are finished. That's why I keep talking about these doors closing. See, the church isn't travailing anymore. Now, let's be honest about it. People are not really fasting and praying anymore. Years ago, they fasted and they prayed. One person could get in the altar and 30 people would spend all night long with them if needs be. They won't do it anymore. Put 30 people in the altar and one won't stay all night long with them now. They'll go down there and they'll mumble a few things and get up and go back to their seat. See, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. All right, so it's the change. The great travail is over. The man-child has been born. Caught up to the throne, the woman with the feet on the moon. Everything shows it. A Jimmy Carter ruling with a rod of iron, reaching for world power. Everything is moving in that direction, taking the band off of world travel. Everything, see, is moving in that direction. You follow me now? So then there is something that's taking place. That 6,000-mile trip that I made, I had the vision. Where after the change was made, as we come across the great divide, there at the Crown, the Best Western, out in Texas. Now, remember, Brother Branham was there in the western part of the world, the Best Western. The Crown, the Jewel Crown, you see it. There we had the vision where the spirit of Elisha came down upon us. I never connected that with what happened over in Israel when the voice said what it did to me. I never connected that together before. A number of things took place that I wish would register tonight that I might explain just a little bit better. But see, there is a change. I might be a little broken up tonight, but you know enough about the revelation to piece it together. See, there's a change. You say, Brother Pike, we're waiting for that change. No, we're not waiting for the change. That's true that we are looking for the change of this body. But we are in the changing age. Something is taking place. You're just not seeing it. It's like Brother Branham speaking of this year being the end. This year. Somebody said, and Brother Branham said, this year is the end. Smoldering rocks. Everything blowed to pieces in 77. But he didn't say that, did he? That wasn't what he said. He said, it's a prediction. I might miss it. He did miss it, as far as the world's concerned. You say, but Brother Pike, it could happen any time in 77. But he didn't predict it in 77. The people that read those books didn't read them right. The ones that's been speaking from them didn't read them right. The book states that I saw the smoldering rocks, and I predict that this would happen before 77. The book states it. I got the writings on it. It says, I predict that this will happen before the year of 77. So he's already missed the prediction. He didn't say 77, before 77. In other words, 77 was to usher in the millennium. You follow me? It's just like I told you folks. Brother Branham said this thing will move right through you and you'll never see it. It's just like I told you before. The revelation of the Lord showed things starting to happen, even way back around the year of 60 and even before. You can run it down step by step and it comes out beautifully. And evidently the Spirit speaking through Brother Branham, the Spirit of the living God, showing him visions and speaking to him about prophecies and predictions, apparently showed him the same thing through visions and predictions that God showed me through a revelation. Now God deals differently with me than he did Brother Branham. He deals different with every man than he does another. He's always dealing different. He adds to every time. Now Brother Branham, he never claimed to have a revelation where he went through it and set things in order and brought it down in a present day thing and grouped things together. He just have a vision. He said, I see a vision. He had a gift. He said, I see a vision over here and I see a vision for this year. And he would bring out a revelation about a certain thing. But God didn't deal with me that way. God dealt with me about the revelation of Jesus Christ, taking it step by step and piecing everything together in the Bible according to the types and shadows and the present day truth, piecing all of that together too, to where I could see it by revelation. And the revelation of the Lord is the trump of God. That is the voice of God Himself speaking. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you're a fanatic. That couldn't be. Well, the Bible teaches when the ministry speaks is the voice of God. It's not him speaking. So why is that so fantastic that I say the voice of God? It's no little wonder that Brother Atlin and him put the trump of God on those brochures, because it is the trump of God. The trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. You say, but Brother Pike, that couldn't be. But Paul said it's not me speaking, but Christ. If that's the voice of Christ, it's the trump of God. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. All right, now, in what I'm trying to say is that the change is taking place. Brother Branham apparently saw the rapture of the church somewhere around the year 63. And he must have calculated in his mind that if it took place in the year of 63, it would give about 3.5 years for tribulation. And then after that, the bombing and so forth, and then would come the millennium. And that was pretty much in line with what I saw. And I saw the thing taking place. And so far, it has took place just exactly like the Spirit of the living God has outlined it. God didn't tell Brother Branham it would take place at any certain time. Now, but Revelation shows that in 63, there was something that happened. It showed that as the step-by-step thing went right on, that it come right down to this particular time, moving right into the closing of the doors of the Gentiles. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, we're still eating and drinking. The Bible said they were. Somebody said, I still got a job, and I can still drive a nice car. I can still get a loan at the bank. What do you mean the days of the Gentiles are closing? Folks, that ain't going to have anything to do with the days of a Gentile closing. When the doors are closed to where you couldn't squeeze in at all, you'll still be eating and drinking as they was in the days of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage and frolicking right on. And the Bible said they never knew nothing about it. The door was closed. They didn't know nothing about it. The door was closed before the water ever came down. It was already closed, already shut up before the waters ever came down from heaven. God already had it closed. They didn't know nothing had happened. You understand what I'm saying? But when the rain began to come down, they realized something that had happened. Something had happened that they had overlooked, and that was the closing of the door. See, the door to the Gentiles will close. It will be the spiritual door. Nobody will see it. It will close. What is that door? It is the bowels of compassion from the saints of God in travailing to bring children to the birth. Before the woman goes into the change, America has gone into a change. The woman with the feet on the moon. The babe's been born and now she's gone into a change. What kind of change? Changing the federal government. Changing everything. Lifting the bands off of world travel. Everything is taking a change. See, it's changing over. While you're busy with your business, and you're going to get you a big business, you're going to make a lot of money, you're going to get a lot of prestige, and pay no attention to the preacher, just ride it on out. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you will die. Pay no attention to the ministry. Get you a business. But the door closed. The doors to the Gentiles, my friend, is closing. God's doing something. He's closing. That door is closing. As this great door to the Gentile people closes, that means that God will turn back to the foreign nations and turn back to the Jews. Is that right? The foreign policies coming in right now prove the door is closing. The government of the foreign people are beginning to take over. Somebody said, no, Brother Pike, this is Jimmy Carter out of Georgia. This is our American government. No, sir. Our American government was what the forefathers established when they came here into this nation. And Jimmy Carter is gradually changing it, making it a government of a dictator. He's switching around everything to his own liking, to his own way, and to what he wants to do. There is the change. Nobody is going to try to stop him. You say, why? Because they don't know what to do with the thing. It's just like they've got a hand grenade and they're trying to get rid of it before it blows to pieces. If he can do anything with it, let him do it, everybody says. All right, so then there's a change coming in. The government switching back over. God's leaving the Gentiles, going back to the foreign nation. Something is taking place. Now, in that it's taking place, that means that this tent meeting that's coming up in Meridian has to do with the translation and the rapture of the church. The door will close and you won't know a thing about it. Like a thief in the night, he'll slip them out. And you won't know until they're all gone. The door will be closed. The wrath of God will suddenly begin to pour out from heaven. And you'll begin to cry for the rocks and mountains. But see, the door's already been closed. John saw a door open in heaven. There's a door open in heaven for you. Jesus is that door. He's that way. But you got to get into heaven. What is heaven? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation is. It's heaven. It's the mind of God. Anybody caught up in the mind of God's in heaven. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Well, if you don't believe it, then that leaves you out. Because you're going to have to believe that stuff, as you call it. Because that is the stuff that's going to translate you into the kingdom of God by faith, like Enoch was. You're raptured out of this world by faith. You're translated into the kingdom of God by faith. Now, so then there's something that's happening. There's a change that's taking place. The thing is changing over from the move of the Western world, where Brother Branham, as a prophet of God, was in the land as the voice of God during that era and during that dispensation to talk to God and to talk to the people. But the thing has changed, gone. God said, my servant Moses is dead. He's dead. He's gone. He's dead. And when that body of Brother Branham fell into the ground, it died. It had to die. You say the seed, what do you mean the seed fell into the ground? This old body's made out of dust. When God spoke that word through Brother Branham, that was a seed from heaven. It fell into those people and those people were carnal. That body was dustly and in that dust it died. That message died. and the skin worms. When God said, I'll help thee, thy worm Jacob, the worms got into the bread. And God said before the Holy One, which was the body of Jesus, would see corruption, that God would resurrect it and bring it out. Is that right? I made the statement. I said when Brother Branham went off the scene, then Junior Jackson in the vision got on the white horse. Is that right? And he began to ride because he had to do with the time of Brother Branham's life being in the veil, because Brother Branham was dead. When Brother Branham died, that life withdrawed from the body of Brother Branham, which was his followers, and his followers died with him. When Christ withdrawed from the Jews, Jesus died, and so did the Jews die. Isn't that right? Because they were a membership of that body. When you kill the head of something, the other part automatically dies. I don't believe some of you pay any attention. You'll wish you had her, though. These little foolish things that you don't have time to listen to because you're too busy with your business and all these other things you got, you would give your business heap upon heap and all your money and everything else. When you go to throw it to the bats, you'd give every dollar, every dime just to have a few words of this. This is the real treasure Paul spoke of, that I got in this heaven. I got it in this earthen vessel down here. This is the knowledge that spoke the world into existence, that created you, that made the stars. This is that eternal power of eternal life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him, the spirit that sent me. That is, if you can hear the word, believe on the spirit that sent the word, you pass from death unto life. Because this is a creative word, a spiritual word. All right. So then, when Brother Branham died, it went into a veil. When that went into a veil, Brother Junior Jackson began to ride the white horse. That continued on. We said it would go eastward. It would go eastward. It did go eastward. It went to the tabernacle of God. Isn't that right? Because when a person dies, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, the tabernacle of God. Isn't that right? But we also said it had to do with a changeover from that which represented Satan over to that which is spelled backwards. It says Noel. And it happened that way. Because that was in the tabernacle of God. When the woman was with her feet on the moon, Satan was in heaven. Isn't that right? In the second realm. So then as it began to come to Junior Jackson, then that part of it began to take over. Brother Homer Brown that went up to Brother Bill Padares' tabernacle, we spoke of him moving from up there. Went over to Brother Junior's. We spoke of that going out over there. I noticed his name still, not in the paper. You understand what I'm saying? The voice that spoke to me and said, Junior's dead. You say, well, you think Junior's going to die? I don't know what the Lord was telling me as far as you're concerned. I know what the Lord was telling me as far as I'm concerned. Now, I believe him to be a wonderful man. And I'm not speaking of his death. I'm not speaking in critically of him. I'm speaking according to the revelation of God that I understand. I feel that it was the time of the change. Brother Junior had run a cycle. He had went to a certain place. It was time for another change. It had to make the next lap. As Brother Branham said, the third pull. What was that lap? It was the resurrection. Just like Brother Wells coming in. The resurrection. It had to do with the resurrection. I brought it out the other day concerning the tent that went to Henryville. Didn't I bring that out here the other day? About Brother Ted King coming here, taking the tent over to Henryville. And about Brother Neville up there in the changeover from the Methodist thing. And how that Bob Wells picked the tent up after Brother Ted got through with it over in Henryville and took it back to the Carolinas and it was tore up. You know, it was the same one Billy Paul had the meeting in up there in Carolinas. I'd have to go through it step by step for you to understand. But some of you, I'm sure, understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. It would take too long if I had to go into all of it. But see, there was a change. For about 3 years from that time, Brother Ted was dead. Brother Wells was dead. It was all over. until the time of the resurrection. So then, when Junia rode the white horse, during that time the message was in the veil. What veil? Lee veil. And I brought it out about that in the earth, how that the pommel worm will get it during that time. But God said, I'll bring it forth before the pommel worm gets it. Isn't that right? What the pommel worm has got, I will restore, saith the Lord. There'll be a time of restoration. See, there's got to be a time of the restoring. Just like now, there's a time of the restoration of spiritual arms that's been lost in battle. Spiritual sight where people couldn't see. They're beginning to see spiritually. I said at this time there'd be a great revival that would break out all over the nation. It's doing it. Everywhere it's breaking out. On the radio, they're getting jubilant. Everybody's setting tents, going. Everything is just at an all-time high. Now, what is it? It's a resurrection. The seed that was sown back there in the first move as Moses has gone to the ground. It died. It went through the recession. Now then, it is a resurrection of that which went down. And you're going to see gimmicks like you've never seen gimmicks in your life. All bunching up into that charismatic move. All of it will come together. But you're going to see the seed of God that fell into the ground come out in a real resurrection of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not an intellectual charismatic move, but an unveiled revelation of fallen Christ step by step. So then, something has taken place. The change has come. Everything has gone through a change. In that it has, the government is shifting back to Israel, the head of the nation. The little tribulation period has to come in there between that time of the change. Because when the woman was on the moon, the child was caught up. Then the woman went into a wilderness. The woman goes into a wilderness after the birth. She goes there for the recovering of the child. I brought that out a number of times. Or recovering from the birth of the child. It is a time of recovering her 7 days of purification before she returns to her husband. The child has done gone up. But then it's recovering time. So the change is on. The government of the tribulation that comes right at the change. Then it sets in and that government begins. Then after that government, that little period of government, then comes the government that is previewed right here at Bethlehem. That's exactly the truth. Washington saw it fall. He saw it go through a tribulation, as we would say, and I believe he saw Revelation 19 when it come back up as the millennium. I believe that. And I believe that this is the government when Brother Branham said, I predict that 77 will usher in the millennium. I believe it was the Spirit of God that was saying that this right here at Little Bethlehem was to come in. It's evident that that's what God was telling him, because God let him see beyond the veil, and the third pull of it was to be the women in the long dresses. So it's evident that this is what he saw. A little previewed millennium. Coming in when this thing is falling right on the dot, so to speak, just like God said it. Now you say, but Brother Pike, that don't add up. But to me, it adds up perfectly. God prophesied through the mouth of the prophets, didn't he? And he said, there's coming a day. When the Messiah come, what happened? All of the followers said, this is the day. All of a sudden, Jesus went away and left them, and somebody said, we're confused. Ain't that the way Brother Branham's followers is doing? The Spirit kept saying, it's coming a day. All of a sudden, the day comes. But they don't see it because they kept looking for a natural day. But God was speaking of a spiritual day. That some spiritual things was going to take place. They've taken place just exactly right. In the days when the Christ came, it was exactly right. They said, are you going to set up the kingdom? He said, it's my kingdom, not of this world. In other words, you didn't get to Revelation. You're all out of it. You understand? But it's happened exactly the way that God said it. It has fell right down to the T, every step of it. Just exactly, I know some of you don't believe it. I can feel the carnality of you. You don't believe it. You're reasoning in your mind, but it don't make any difference. The Jews didn't believe it. They nailed Jesus to the tree. They didn't believe in the days of Noah. But folks, it happened just exactly the way that I said. When I turned around and I said, do you see those things happening up there in heaven? And nobody could see them, but they still was happening. I didn't even have one person that could see them, but they were still happening. Now, folks, they're happening in heaven. I saw the people, they sat there in amaze. They were looking at me, and I could tell they was wondering. Their minds was wondering, but the thing was taking place. All over heaven, things was taking place. And the people's mind was just wondering, just looking at me. And I suddenly became aware of the fact that not one of them saw it. And there was a multitude of them. Don't you see it, folks? Something is taking place. Something is taking place in the spirit. That's heaven. Something is taking place. It's time that some of you begin to see it. Some of you have grown up to the place to where it's time for you to begin to see it. John said, there's a door open. Come up in heaven. It's time you quit wondering and reasoning and get your mind off of jobs and off of passions and off of this and off of that and get your mind on God. There is a change that's taking place. People are stirred. There's people all around the nation wanting to support this work. Got that letter from the woman over in Ohio up there somewhere. Wanted to support this work. She said, I'm able to support it. Brother Gene said some woman back over in Indiana, that's a wealthy woman, has found out about this work and she's wanting to know more about it. She wants to support it. People from all over the United States are writing, wanting to support this work. Got a letter from some doctor back up yonder somewhere. And the doctor made the statement, he was interested in this work and sent an offering. People are becoming interested. Something's happening. Tapes, literature, the voice of radio, going all over the nation, everywhere. Letters coming in from India and Central America and all around. Wanting to unite. One fellow got 30 churches wanting to have fellowship with us. Something is taking place. There is a change. Something is taking place. We're on the verge of the leaven mixing with the unleavened. That is in this camp meeting. People are wanting to come here. Betty called a letter to my attention today. I believe it was or right recently. Some woman or some man, whoever it is, wanting to come to the camp meeting. A number of them's writing. We've never heard of them, never known of them. But they said, we want to come to the camp meeting. Got a letter from out in Douglas, Arizona. Some woman wrote and said, Brother Pine, she had got the harvest of Harold. She had sent in for prayer. We prayed for her. She said her leg had to be amputated. We prayed for her. And she wrote back and said, praise God, since you people prayed, my leg don't have to be amputated. Said all the poison's gone out, said it's healed up. And she didn't have nothing but just trouble with a little toe, one of the toes, and said, I believe that's going to heal up. Said her faith was down to a low ebb. She didn't know what to do about it. But said, this has just set her up on the mountaintop, so to speak. Brother Tommy Merritt's mother wrote, Tommy had asked us to pray for her. She was sick, in bad shape, lost her strength. She wrote today, they sent an offering. Said, tell Tommy I've got my strength back. She's beginning to feel good again. See, there's a change. Something is taking place. People are beginning to reap the benefits, not just at Little Bethlehem, but all over the nation. They're reaping the spiritual benefits of it. See, it's out of the shell. The little chick has pecked its way out. I'm just going to go on just for a few more minutes tonight because this is real scattered because I don't feel any major means of drawing. You're listening good, but not hungry enough. All right, so then there's a change that's taking place. Something has happened. There has been a switch over. There has been a change over. Some of them are putting their own revelation together. They've got their own revelation. I've talked to some of them about it. And they've pieced it together and they've made their own revelation. And they've got it all fixed up. Where it's going to do this and it's going to do that. And how it's going to affect Brother Pike and how it's going to affect them. But they're not right in that. I've talked to them. That doesn't have anything to do with the way they got it worked out. The revelation of the Lord Jesus is not working in all the way that they've got it summed up in their mind. Different ministers has got it worked out in their mind how that it's going to affect them with the white tent and how it's going to affect them with Brother Pike and what's going to happen and all these things. They're wrong over it. It isn't going that way at all. There is a true revelation of Christ. There's a true mind of Christ. There is a change taking place. But God is going to take somebody that's half interested in money and fame and popularity and businesses and everything else that ain't got time to give Him any time of their mind and thoughts. He isn't going to take somebody like that and use them. He isn't going to take somebody that's fussing and fighting and feuding and backbiting and gossiping, finding fault every time something don't go their way. God isn't going to take those people and use them. God's going to scourge somebody, put them through the fire. Let them go through the chambers of despair, through the pressures of life. And then when they are thoroughly burned out, as far as the old man, then God will pick them up and God will use them. So you can squirm and feel like God's going to use you all you want to, but He won't. But if you'll submit yourself to God and follow leadership and follow the things of God, God will mold you and God will pick you up and God will use you. But if you've got the idea God's going to pick you up and set you on a throne, never let you nail a nail and saw a board, never let you dig a ditch, never let you mop a floor, never let you do anything, you're wrong. God isn't going to do that. God doesn't work like that. You're going to have to get willing to do a little something, natural and spiritual. All right. This building didn't get here just because somebody, just sat down and prayed. They put some effort with it. The tents, it took some efforts to put up that tent over yonder. To the advertising and pay for it, it takes some efforts. You people that's got that wild idea about God using you, not doing nothing. You couldn't operate if you had something to operate with. You don't have enough to get up and go about you. It takes work to do it. You love the Lord? All right, so there's a change that's taking place. We need to get our minds on little Bethlehem. Get our minds on God. Get our minds on publishing the gospel. Get our minds on sharing because the change is taking place. There's already been visions that there are those that are among us that got their eyes open. But they got their eyes open too late. The vision showed that they got their eyes open too late and couldn't get in the door. It was already closed. They tried to get in. The people went in, but they couldn't get in. Been more than one vision. You say, Brother Pike, who was that? Some of you are sitting here tonight. The vision showed some of you sitting here tonight. You didn't make it in. You didn't believe it until it was too late. And then when you begin to rise up and believe it, it was too late for you to believe it. The Bible said you'll begin to knock, but the door has been closed. The door to the Gentiles is closing, folks. You better believe what I'm telling you. It's a closeout. The woman's going away into a wilderness. You say, what kind of wilderness? That charismatic move is a wilderness. That's an intellectual wilderness that is related to the papacy of Rome and the Catholic Church. It's a thing where you can go to the ball games and watch your movies and go to the bathing pools and wear your shorts and play golf and suck on cigarettes and do anything you want to and still shout and speak in tongues and say that you're a child of God. That's a wilderness. Anytime anybody gets in that, that's a wilderness. There's only one true way of God. That's to get rid of the filth of the flesh. That's to submit yourself to God and to walk in the beauty of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's going to take holy living. It's going to take obeying the word. Somebody said, well, I think I can get in the other way. I wish you'd tell me how you're going to get in. The Bible teaches that we are translated into the kingdom of God, and the way we're translated in is by the word of God. That's by faith in the word of God. When the word of God tells me to do a thing, I believe it, and because I believe it, my faith translates me in. Somebody said, I believe it too. You couldn't believe it. Because the writer said that faith is shown by the obedience to the word. That's what translated Noah in was the saw and the hammer. It was the works, the manifested works of God. that came from the faith that God placed in his heart. It's your efforts to obey the word of God, to conform to the word of God. That is the proof of your faith. That is the translating part of it. So then you couldn't possibly get in. There ain't no way. You understand what I'm saying? Now you might as well hold on a little bit longer. Some of you ain't got no interest tonight, and you'll be glad when I stop, and I'll stop. So you can be glad, but I'm going to finish first. You love Jesus? So then there is a change that's taking place. The veil is coming off. We're changing from the old body over into the new body. Something is happening. We've been caught away with God. We've been translated in the marvelous kingdom of God. We've been sealed in. God has literally sealed us into the kingdom. God hath, not going to, he's already translated us into the kingdom of our God. How did you do it? By faith. By faith. You say, Brother Pike, do you really believe you're in the kingdom of God? I am already in the kingdom of God. You say, well, I am too. You couldn't be in the kingdom of God. Anybody's got your mind on a business all the time and interested in a dollar and interested in prestige, you couldn't be in the kingdom of God. The Bible said, let your thoughts be holy, your conversation be holy, your desire be holy. You say, Brother Pike, you don't believe you could be in the kingdom of God and have a business? You can be in the kingdom of God and have a good business. You can be in the kingdom of God and have a good job. But if you're in the kingdom of God, you don't have your mind on that business. You don't have your mind on that job. You've got your mind on God. The Bible said, keep your mind stayed on Christ. Every day, every thought, every minute. Day and night, to meditate in his laws, day and night. You have to bring every thought into subjection. Every thought into subjection. I said the other night, I had a man down there at the men's meeting. I said, you will never succeed. He won't succeed in business. You say, why? Because he won't get his mind on God. And another thing, he's double-minded. When he's in the church, he'd like to be out of the church. When he's out of the church, he'd like to be in the church. When he's got a business, he'd like to be doing something else. When he's doing something else, he'd like to have a business. He's double-minded. Unstable in all of his ways. And the Bible said, let not that man think he receive anything of God. Nothing. You can't receive anything of God like that. All right, so then we keep our mind on the Lord. I didn't mean to preach to you tonight while I was trying to drop in a thought or two. But I just have to break in here and there to keep your attention. See, when you're in a state of laxity like that, I have to break in and shout at you to get your attention a few minutes to then to tell you a few things. And that means that the revelation is just broken up here and there. All right, so then I'm trying to get over some things to you because the end of the world is here. And the change is here. God has made a change. Things has happened and you've not seen it. And as Brother Branham said, it's passed right through you. He said it will do it and they won't see it. And they haven't seen it. And his people, that seed that was sown in the ground, is beginning to reproduce now. And the new crop is coming up, just like the vision where he saw the old trees begin to moan as the wind began to blow through them. He said he saw them moan and some of them broke off and some of them old and dry and hollowed out. And he said, God said, look up under those trees. And when he looked up under those trees, he saw a new crop coming up and the wind would blow and just sway with the wind just like that and just kept right on growing. And God said, this is the new crop I'm bringing up. God is bringing in a new crop. All of those contractors out there, they've gone out. Many of them that was great, big, stately trees, God knocked the top out of them. They fell to the bottom, lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, folded up. God got some little ones he's bringing up now, new crop. That represents that something spiritually is taking place. God's got some little ones in Christ he's bringing up. The children are going over into Canaan. That's why we're talking about putting this playground out here now. See, it's the children going over into their Canaan. At last, the school is beginning to reap a few benefits. It's the time for the children. The elders has got to get them a business. They're busy. They got to make some money. They're too busy to go into Canaan. They said, look, said Moses, if it's all right with you, we done planted a crop over here on this side of Jordan. And we done got a house built, and we done married the wife, and we got children. What about us just going to church with you folks, and we just all walk along together, and y'all living over in Canaan, us living over here? Isn't that right? Somebody said, hey, Brother Pike, we've got us a nice automobile, and we've got us a nice home, and we've got us a nice job, and we like to come to church at Little Bethlehem. What about us just coming over and we all just shout together? And we just stay carnal-minded, and you just be spiritual-minded. And we'll take ours over here, and you take yours over there. Well, if that's the way you want it, Moses said, that's okay. I mean, it's up to you, you know. That's okay. But I want mine in Canaan. I'm going on over with the children. I want mine in Canaan. I don't want mine on the other side of Jordan. I want to get over that old natural mind of death. I'm going into the Canaan. Amen. Like the vision I saw when they begin to get weary and a little gray hair begin to get into head, I saw them begin to grow weary, the brethren. But I took my wife and renewed my youth and renewed her youth, and I got the children. We went on over into Canaan. We kept on going for God. That's the way I feel. See, we're going into Canaan, folks. You love Jesus? All right, I want you to stand with me. I'm not going to be able to get into what I wanted to here. I keep staggering and hoping to be able to, you know, get a little spark there. I guess this just ain't the night for it. The seed fell into the ground and died. Brother Branham sowed it. It's done fell into the ground and died. It's about rotted under the clod. The pommel worms, the caterpillars has about got it. But God said, I'll bring it forth just before it sees corruption. They've turned to televisions and the world and everything else, but God's fixing to shake them. Amen. He's fixing to shake them. And they're going to realize there's something new, something's going on. They say, where's all them predictions that Brother Branham made? Where are they? I believe God blessed the man. I see him just falling around everywhere. They know it's time to do something because they missed the boat. Brother Bob Wells said, Brother Pike said, I want to tell you just exactly like it is. He said, this thing began to happen. He said, I suddenly realized that I had overlooked something. Said, I had overlooked something. Said, I realized that we, as the Brother Branham followers, that there's something that we missed. And he said, Brother Pike, I'm telling you this. He said, the Brother Branham followers right now, he said, I know that they're beginning to realize that they missed something somewhere. He said, they're beginning to say, you know, we missed something. We failed to see something somewhere. And Bob said, Brother Pike, I know that something is happening. Something is taking place. That is true. It is taking place. See, God is a spirit. There is something taking place. God is a spirit. But you have to have the right kind of mechanism on the inside to be able to record it. Isn't that right? You got to be able to record it. See, you got to be able to see those spiritual things. Something is happening. When Carter and the little baby went up to Brother Mitch's, I knew that was going to happen sooner or later. But I also knew that they wasn't going to be happy. And they won't be happy. And I knew that Brother Keith went up there in a symbolic thing of that ark taking him over. But then the ark came to rest upon the mountain. See, what's that got to do with it? It's like Sister Robin. You know, Robin comes at springtime. That has to do with the resurrection. There's a joint thing in their life that they typify in the mind of God. But Brother Carter, the little book, little Mitch, was the one that was caught up. Caught up to the throne. Where was that at? Godwin. Somebody said, now wait a minute, if that's the throne, we all better head up there. Well, naturally speaking, it represents it, so you better hit the trail. But for those that are spiritual, what he did naturally in the child being caught up there, you remember how I brought him behind the pulpit here and I dedicated him behind the sacred desk when I didn't do the other that way. See, it was caught up. What they did naturally, that's what happened at Bethlehem spiritually. And I saw Brother Carter in a lot of problems. Because when you do something naturally, it isn't good for you spiritually. A lot of times when you do something spiritually, it don't feel too good to you naturally. When they put the nails in Jesus' hand, he did something spiritual, but it didn't go so well naturally. When you fast, you're doing something spiritual, but it don't go so well naturally. All right, so then the seed is beginning to come up. It's died. The ride of Junior Jackson is over. It's over. That means there's a new move. What is the move? It had to abide with the tabernacle of God while it was in the veil, because the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. That's where Junior went to, the tabernacle of God, to show the ride. But after that, what was to happen? It was to move over to little Bethlehem, believe it or not. Somebody said, oh my, I'll never believe it. Well, that's all right. I can believe for me and you both. I believe it in a double potion. It moved over to little Bethlehem. That means that God is doing something out of little Bethlehem now. There's something that's happening to little Bethlehem, and something that's happening going out of little Bethlehem. You can try to curse it. You can speak against it. You can be like a Balaam and curse God's people, but God will curse you in the end. And you'll wind up with heartaches in the end, and you'll say you was a fool in the end. You can surmise and find evil thoughts and evil surmisings, as the Bible calls it, and have an evil heart of unbelief. But God will move on anyway. So then God is moving right on around the world. And the message is going around the world. While I plead with you here at little Bethlehem, we are reaching the world out yonder for Jesus. Over 20 languages, and the radios are going, and the literature is going, and the presses is fixing to roll bigger than ever. And we're just talking to you as a little group of people, but we're reaching the world for Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love you. I want you to know there's something that's taking place. There's been a change. And though there's a lot of things I would like to say concerning that change, I never did strike a spark enough tonight to get you to light up to where I could. Let's sing a little chorus together. And we've already made reservations for Europe or Sweden. Going into Germany if nothing happens. Not only made reservations, but it's already paid. The trip is already paid for into Sweden. We still have to have some more money for the Eurail pass and for the plane from Atlanta to New York and back. Or either we'll have to drive the car. But the trip from New York into Sweden is already paid for over and back. Reservations is already made. And I hope this year, if the Lord will help me, I hope that I can make at least 3 trips this year. I might not be able to do it. Whatever His plans is, that's what we'll do. But I hope I can. I want to do all I can. The Lord, what I can. Because we're just passing this way one time. And I want to do everything I can. I want to preach to the Swedish people. I've asked God to give me the heathens for an inheritance. And I believe He's going to do it. He said, ask of me the heathens. I will give them to you for an inheritance. I've asked Him to give me the souls of the heathens. For the cause of Christ as an inheritance. Stars in my crown of life. The song said, will there be any stars in my crown? There can be. There can be. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the noonday sun, as the brightness of the firmament. There'll be stars in that day of your living. Beautiful, radiant light, stars in your living life. Or crown of that day, which is eternal life, around you in that eternal day with that eternal life, you'll see those lights. There'll be stars in your crown of life. I hope we can do more. I really hope we can do more. I want to thank you for everything that you've done for us. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. But I want to get in a hurry now. We ain't got but a few more minutes. I ain't held you that long. I thank you for everything that you've done for us in helping us. So far, we're able to pay the bills. We always try to pay the bills before we leave. I'm praying and believing God to pay the bills. Now, the brethren really pressed in this week. They were a big help to me. And I'm trusting that in the next few weeks before we go to Sweden, if they'll make a special drive to do something for God. Because between now and the camp meeting, it has a great spiritual significance. And if you're going to do something, now's a good time to do it. Now's a good time to share with God. Do like Zacchaeus. When old brother Zacchaeus said, half of my goods I give to the poor. If you've got a little nest egg, now's the time to divide it. Now's the time. Say, oh, I'm going to hold on to it. Well, that's okay. The Bible said, make to yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon. What is unrighteous mammon? Money. That they might receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you. Because He's going to reject you. But give of that which you have. Whether it's your time, your money, your substance, whatever. And behold, all things are clean unto you. Otherwise, you got filthy lucre. Now's the time to do something. I hope the brethren will press in with me a little bit longer so that we can get the doors up, clear away a few bills so that I can be at ease a little bit. Not at ease in Zion, but at ease a little bit concerning the precious here as I go over there and can give my heart and time to help those people over there. Then when I come back, you over here will have a brotherhood over there. You'll have a brotherhood. Like when we went to Israel, the Lord spoke to us concerning the vision. I guess that's what it had to do with. And when we went downstairs there to talk a little bit, there's a Jewish fellow come up. He's a man of renown. He's in the services over there. He said, Brother Pike, he said, if you'll check up, you'll find out that you're a Jewish descent. I said, well, where do you get that? He said, one thing is your name Leon. He said, it means lion. And I know the way he talked. I know the way he talked. He had something in mind. I know it related back to what God had said to me. But his thoughts was, he said, you and I have got a work to do. He said, we got a work to do. And he told me about some of the strangest visitations that I ever heard of that a man had. And I just looked at him to begin with in wonder, you know. But the way he told it, in such a precision, that I knew that something really happened to him. He couldn't have made it up that way. He'd had some kind of experiences. But anyway, the Lord is doing something. Whether that has anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But I said that to say this. We got a brotherhood over there. We met some people. We got a brotherhood over there. When we come back from the other places, we'll have a brotherhood. And arm in arm around the world. Around the world. We'll be able to do something for Jesus. If the Lord should tarry, then you could go over there. You wouldn't have to go with Brother Pike or anybody. We could just say, if God spoke to you to go, we could just get together the money and send you over there. There'd be a brotherhood waiting to receive you, to love you, and to share with you, and to take care of you. You wouldn't feel strange and out of place. You wouldn't be just lost among the multitudes. Pray for us as I pray for you. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Pray for me, pray for me. I'm tired of sinning and I want to be saved. Can you sing it over with me? Pray for me. Oh, pray for me. I'm tired of sinning and I want to be saved. Are you tired of sinning tonight? Are you tired of sinning? I want you to sing it one more time with me. Just bow your head and close your eyes and lift your hands. And I want you to sing it with me again. Oh, pray for me. Pray